saying that she'd cancel her plane trip home if he'd take her to dinner. Is that magic? Is that charisma? He showed me the note right after. I mean, then he could go the other way. There was a time that he told Gloria DeHaven that he'd been a fan of her since he was a kid, and she got up and walked out on him.
I think we all have such marvelous, marvelous memories of him, and I don't think any of us will ever forget him.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Ron, thanks ever so much.
Listen, I enjoyed talking to you, Aaron.
Ronnie Schell with Aaron Edwards in a conversation recorded earlier this afternoon, one of the many people that Sherwood worked with and touched. Ronnie talked about the great humor. You heard some if you were with us an hour and a half ago at the top of the show. We're going to replay again some of the commercials. Sherwood and Kearney on a record that was sent to thousands of you. Many of you have it, but many more don't. They tried to do commercials for KSFO. Don Sherwood and Jack Kearney way back when.
Hello again, this is your sidewalk reporter on the corner of Eddy and Franklin Streets in downtown San Francisco. But you know 9 out of 10 citizens here in San Francisco listen to KSFO radio. Here's a gentleman just coming out of a liquor store. Pardon me, sir. May I have your name, please?
Certainly, certainly. My name is Garth M. Blast. That's Garth Marlowe.
Garth Marlowe
Blast. That's right. I've never seen so much traffic here at Eddy and Franklin in my whole life.
What's the name of the liquor store you just came out of?
Marlowe.
Hello again, this is your sidewalk reporter on the corner of 14th and Evans Street in Daly City. As you probably know, 9 out of 10 residents of San Francisco listen to KSFO radio. And here early in the morning is a gentleman coming out of a cocktail lounge. May I have your name, please?
You certainly may, yes.
Your name, please.
Oh, that.
Hello again for KSFO Radio. This is your man on the street. And as you probably know, 9 out of 10 people in San Francisco always listen to KSFO. Here comes gentlemen. Pardon me, sir.
Yes.
Scared the hell out of me, sir. What's your name, please?
None of
Hello again, this is your man on the street on Powell Street in San Francisco. As you know, 9 out of 10 residents of our city listen to KSFO radio. We're going to start. Here comes a gentleman now walking down in the gutter, his eyes downcast as if he's looking for something. Pardon me, sir. May I have your name, please?
I wish you wouldn't bother me at this time.
What seems to be the problem?
I lost my chewing gum.
Here, have a stick of
mine. And sometimes we can't get off the ground at all. In this session, in order to get one commercial, we had to start 26 times. Here's a few reasons why.
Hello again, this is your man on the street on Powell Street. As you probably know, 9 out of 10 people in San Francisco listen to KSFO radio. And, here comes a gentleman now wearing a Tyrolean hat, lederhosen. Pardon me, sir, may I ask your name, please?
Yes, my name is Herr von Silfleich.
Herr von Silfleich, do you live here in San Francisco?
Yes, I do. I live here and I work here and I love it. It's a wonderful city. It's so cosmopolitan and all that.
Yes, sir, where did you come from, if I may ask?
Don Sherwood and Jack Kearney attempting to record some commercial promos for KSFO. We've heard from listeners, people who grew up with Don Sherwood all day long today. We've got someone on the phone live right now, very special to San Francisco as far as sports in this area goes. John Brody, former quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, quarterback at Stanford, and now a commentator for NBC television. John Brody grew up with Don Sherwood. And John, as I understand, you have a story for us that no one else knows. Good evening.
Yeah, Jeff. I just wanted to mention that, you know, I really grew close to the media through Don, and it was weird because I'd grown up, I wasn't totally close to everybody involved with who was writing and who was talking, but it was strange. I ran into a tree in 1963, and I wasn't in too good a shape, and he wrote me a letter, and that letter had about as much meaning as anything I'd ever read, heard, or anything else. He just said, it hasn't been a good 6 years. Why don't you change it? And it was that simple about Don that, to me, was very meaningful. And I can recall that after things did change in 1970, he came up and he said, "Hey, you did, didn't you?" And to me, he was probably the most meaningful person because of his intelligence that had any effect on me in the media. And the one thing that he did have, I think that people have talked about all day long, that they've missed, is that he had an affinity for people that I have not seen duplicated. And I just wanted to pass that on to you because I'm sure a lot of people around there, it's pretty hard to pass on affinity, all right, and duplicate it. But he had something that hit me, and I wanted to pass it on to you.
He sure did, John, and we much appreciate your sharing that memory with us tonight.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Good show.
John Brody with some memories of Don Sherwood. John Brody with some memories of Don Sherwood, man he grew up with as a listener. Speaking of listeners, we've been hearing from you all day long. You're not going to have an opportunity during this program to call in, but we do want to hear from you again as we relive our thoughts about Don Sherwood. And tonight, between 11 and midnight on Jerry Gordon's show, we'd like to hear from you again in your memories of Don Sherwood. We have many more to share with you right now as we relive our thoughts of the king of San Francisco radio. Tennessee Ernie Ford, a name you associate probably when you think of KSFO people most closely with Jim Lang. Jim was the announcer on Ernie's TV show, which was coast to coast but originated here in San Francisco. Earlier today, Ernie talked with Aaron Edwards and shared his memories of Don Sherwood.
Ernie Ford, you remember Don Sherwood, I'm sure.
What, remember Don, that's pleasant memories. When I was doing the television show in San Francisco every day, I had a telephone in the car. I used to call Don almost every morning. We'd chat and talk, and he'd say something country. He'd say, "I don't know anything country." And, of course, Don and I had a real great rapport. I was one of the fortunate people that Don Sherwood liked. I don't know why, but he seemed to like me very much. And we've had some great visits the past years, especially when I drove into town every day. And, of course, I think the man, such a brilliant mind. I've never seen anybody with a more brilliant mind. And we thoroughly enjoyed each other and our conversations together, whether telephone or whether in person.
I know that he thoroughly enjoyed you, and he used to quote you often. He used to quote you very often. That's why he used to say,
you know,
"Say something country."
When I would hear him do some things that I had said, but the man had a mind like a steel trap, Aaron. It's amazing. You remember what he said when they built the new Hilton up there in San Francisco?
I don't quite
remember. When he first saw it, he said it looked like something you put in a wind of the cooler room. Now, those are the things, you know, that you remember about this man.
He had, as you say, just such an inventive mind.
Absolutely. The guy was absolutely unbelievable in his rapport and his talk. And of course, I used to love when he'd have to play a transcribed commercial, and he hated it. Absolutely hated it, and get through in the... about the announcer on the commercial said, "We're going to get those kind of things. They can't last forever." Those things, you know, I will never forget.
But the sponsors didn't mind that kind of berating.
No. It sold products, really.
It sold products. There were a few people in life who made success of berating problems. Arthur Godfrey was one, Henry Morgan, and Sherwood was so sharp at it. He was so good at it.
Yeah, and right on top of it all the time, and you could tell when he was absolutely steaming when he was about to play something he didn't like. But I'm so sorry he was gone, the young man, but be that as it may, we all, as I've been listening all day today, well, you can see this is what a tribute this is. And
well,
I said a while ago, this really is the memorial service.
That's right. The family chose not to have memorial services to me,
sure.
Just remembering him laughing at the things that he made us laugh at.
Absolutely.
That is the memorial.
And I saw him, you know, when he took Aka's place over at Honolulu. I happened to be over there at the time.
Uh-huh.
and he was a scream. He tried volleyball in the sand one time, and that was it.
No, he didn't go in for strenuous athletics.
Not in the way he shaped.
And when he did try that camping trip I told Buddy about.
I heard that, yeah.
Boy, when he brought that stuff back, he was mad at me for having even suggested that he go camping.
Absolutely. Well, he was quite a fellow.
He sure was. The old pea picker, Tennessee Ernie Ford, with some memories of Don Sherwood. Aaron's got some thoughts about
that. I just wanted to expound a little bit on what Ernie was referring to there when he said he tried volleyball in the sand one time. He used to ask me about my vacations, and I told him at that time when our kids were young, we were into camping, tent camping, which is the hardest thing you can do because you're always setting up or breaking down in the very heat of the day. And so I owned a tent and folding cots and sleeping bags and certainly a camping stove and a little ice chest. I had the whole works, the lantern. And he expressed an interest in wanting to try camping, which he never had. So I said, okay, I'll bring it here. I'll give you whatever you need. We'll talk about it. And here, use all of my stuff. So I did. Along with that, there was a folding table that I had bought. It was an aluminum table that collapsed down. It was like it opened up to about 6 feet long, and it collapsed down to just like less than a bridge table with a handle on the side. You know, you've seen them. Anyway, he got where he was going. The first experience he had where there were bees in the campsite. Well, he finally moved to another spot, and he started to set things up. By now, it was the heat of the day, and he was getting a little bit exhausted, and he was sweating, and it was uncomfortable generally. The first thing he did was pinch his finger in opening that aluminum table. He gave himself such a pinch that he raised a blood blister right away, and that was it, and that's all it took. He didn't fold the tent. He didn't fold anything. He started throwing things back in the trunk of the car and drove all the way back to San Francisco and phoned me. He didn't say it the way I'm going to tell you, but he
You're cleaning
said,
it up, I assume.
Oh, am I? He said, come get your stuff.
Okay, well, I know what kind of stuff, okay.
But I went down to get this trunk load of stuff, and of course the table was bent. He threw things back in there, and he was so angry at me for having even suggested weeks before, maybe you'd like to try camping, get a little fresh air, get away from the city and all that. He was burning mad with me. And he said, from now on, I'm going to do all my camping in the lobby at a Fairmont Hotel.
Great story. There are so many great stories of Don Sherwood. And what struck me this afternoon when we were talking to so many of our listeners, hardly anybody repeated an earlier story. Everyone, or most everyone, has his own memory of Don Sherwood.
And they brought back memories that all of us have long since forgotten.
Exactly. One of the many people Don Sherwood touched here at KSFO, someone who helped him a great deal. Sherwood's first engineer, the man who pushes the buttons and does more than that, reacts and interplays, Charlie Smith. And we talked to Charlie earlier today, and Charlie is certainly very, very instrumental and important in Sherwood's existence and life here at KSFO, with the sound effects and all. After Charlie retired, and even before then at times, Sherwood's other engineer and a close friend, a very close friend, Bob Texera, who's with us tonight and who's at the controls right now, as a matter of fact. Bobby talked earlier with Buddy Hatton about a side of Sherwood that not a lot of people knew, a side that Sherwood didn't care to share a lot. He gave this image of Mr. Macho, but as Bobby will tell you in just a moment, inside there was a heart of gold. Bob Texera's kind of a private person as well, but this afternoon he shared his memories of Don Sherwood.
When my son was born, and he played Sweet Leilani, because being from Hawaii. So I came to work the next day, I said, Don, what'd you do that for? He said, the only Hawaiian record I could find. But he used to also,
that's great.
Most of the people know, holidays, he hated it. He hated it.
You know, working on the holidays?
Well, no, he just hated it. I'm going to have a turkey sandwich for Thanksgiving. You know, he'd say, nobody's inviting me. Nobody's doing this. So one year, I finally conned him into coming up to Nevada for dinner. You know, the family and the whole bit. Not too many people, you know, he's very shy and everything. It's fine, you know, he says, no drinking, no drinking, no problem, you know, a nice turkey and everything. So we get off the air and drive up there. Get in the place and into the house, and there's, you know, the wine sitting there. I'm married to an Italian lady, so there's a lot of wine there. And Sherwood looked at the white
line. Oh, you're blaming your wife.
I don't want her because I'm a married to an Italian lady.
No, but I mean, you know, it's close. So Sherwood looks at the white wine, and it's, you know, jug wine, and he says, I'm not drinking that. You know, on and on. He says, where's the closest liquor store? We ended up getting some real expensive Riesling, you know, gray Riesling and so forth, and he bought a whole case of it. Naturally, Don never made it to work the next day. I did. I had to, you know. But Don slept at my house that night. He had so much fun. But he did something, and it was personal, and I'd like the people to know what he did. When I first started with him, I was getting ready to go to Hawaii. My son was born, and we'd take him home to see the parents and so forth. In those days, I guess United and Pan Am were the only two that flew. So I said, well, I'm going on vacation. And, going on vacation? What are you doing going on vacation with when I'm working? You Portuguese pineapple picker sticker. You know, anyway. So make a long story short, he says, well, how are you going? I said, we're flying and everything else. When you're leaving, he gave the dates and everything else. And about 3 days later, I get home, open the mailbox, and he paid for the whole trip, Pan Am. He sent the things to the house. And that was Sherwood, which nobody really knew. But, you know, there it was.
Great.
And he checked it up. One Christmas, this is the last story, because I have to go back and get his show together, because he's up there watching me. But one Christmas, he bought a gift for the family, and no gifts for me. In those days, he drank pineapple grapefruit juice. Every morning, he was on his health kit, you know, needed it every morning. So I went out and bought a whole case of pineapple grapefruit juice in small containers. And he lived at 999 Green, and I took it there to the doorman, and I said, would you give it to Mr. Sherwood? We wrapped it up, the wife and I wrapped it up. And, you know, he thought that was the greatest gift he received for Christmas, just a case of pineapple grapefruit juice. But that was Don Sherwood.
And that was Bob Texera, a very real memory of a man we loved. We all shed some tears tonight. Aaron Edwards.
In the course of that interview, they were mentioning Charlie Smith, and you mentioned that. Charlie Smith was the engineer for years and years for Don Sherwood, from when he first came here to KSFO, I guess, until Charlie retired. But anyway, this was a very, also a creative individual. And Charlie, you know, to look back at some of that which Don was doing, maybe today wouldn't hit the audience in the same way it did then. But the use of drop-in voices was extraordinarily cleverly done by him. And Don's fast brain had to come up with replies. The Just Plain Rosita series was an example. Charlie would just play these wild cuts, and Don would latch on to how it sounded to his untrained, un-Spanish ear. But anyway, Charlie did that. He kept Sherwood sharp, is in essence what happened. He kept Don right on the tip of his toes with just dropping in phrases or sound effects, some of which were suggestive, some of which were funny. But they kept this guy sharp, and the audience loved it. In any case, Charlie was a very punctual person. One day in the 7-plus years that I worked for Don, I overslept. One day. Now, when I used to get up early and hit the highway, I live in San Mateo, hit the highway at 4 a.m., you could zip right into San Francisco, no problem. By the time I got dressed, after I had awakened in the panic, I was out on the highway. It was almost 6:30 by then. I was due in here about 20 to 6. And I was caught dead center in the commute. And you don't make any time coming up the Bayshore. I was there, and I realized Herb Kennedy is still on the air. Herb was our all-night man. So that told me right off that Sherwood didn't make it on time. And I could tell from what was happening that Charlie Smith also overslept.
No.
This was a wild coincidence. So none of us were here. None of us were here. And Herb was sitting on the air saying such things. Oh, my. Nobody here but me. And I was sitting on the freeway wishing I could fly, but there was nothing I could do. Nobody here but me. I think that took about an hour and a half.
Another great memory of Don Sherwood. Nobody showed all on the same day. You mentioned Just Plain Rosita, one of the great series that we all grew to love. Here's an excerpt of Just Plain Rosita.
Yes, friends,
it's time now for Just Plain Rosita. The story that asks the question, can a woman over 35? Part of Rosita is played by Luz Morales, the part of Paolo by Lance Boyle. As we join them, we find Rosita, Paolo, Uncle and Aunt Fritos in the breakfast nook. Rosita speaks.
Hola, Carmen. Que guapa estás?
She said, did you see Carmen and Cecilia? Guapa estás? Did you see her whop, old Stas, who's, I guess, the old fella down at the corner, as I remember. He's a guy that hangs around going, oh, sweetie. Well, I
y
guess...
Y que bien te sienta ese vestido.
She says he got him right in the teeth.
¿Te gusta? Justamente venía para que me diese su parecer.
Since you hoisted him. Right up and hung him up on one of the hooks outside the drugstore.
Supongo que vendrá aquel chico tan grosero.
And then she took the chiclet machine and hit him over the head, made his head sound like a bongo.
Pariente de ustedes. ¿Quién?
She says, I think she could have done something else instead. And Rosita said, well, I think it was Keen.
Chavez?
Now she says, what are they going to do about Chavez, who does the same thing, stands by the drugstore and says, hi, sweetie.
Quedó en venir, pero no es grosero.
She says, I think we ought to make him go down there and make him kneel down and hit him in the head with a cerro, which is kind of a Mexican club. There goes Chavez on the way to the drugstore. He's playing his gourd there. Okay, so we leave Just Plain Rosita, and I certainly hope that it's helped you with your language problems south of the border. If you go down there and use this knowledge, I'd like to know how you get along with the natives. Right. You probably have to get the jailer to clear the letter.
Oh, Don Sherwood and Just Plain Rosita. And a tribute, of course, to Don, but Charlie Smith, if you're listening tonight, a great tribute to you. Charlie and Don did that, and again, I hate to repeat it, but no rehearsal. Don had never heard those tapes before, and that went on every day, Just Plain Rosita. All kinds of memories of people who worked here at KSFO, those of us who were privileged to know him. Thelma Karp, the executive secretary here at KSFO, she goes back a long time. She wouldn't like me to tell how long, and I'm not sure, but it goes back for many, many years.
I asked her.
Okay.
And she said, I came here for the second time in early 1950s. She had already worked here, and I think she retired to have a youngster. And then she said, I came back to work the second time in the early 50s. So that's how long Thelma was here.
She acts and looks a lot younger than that. At any rate, she worked here as a secretary. More than that, or in addition to her secretarial chores, Thelma was a listener and a fan of Don Sherwood's. And just very briefly today, she shared with us some of her thoughts about his show.
I think one of my favorite memories of Don is when he would tell you how to remember that you left your car lights on when it was either a dark, rainy day or whatever. You'd unzip your fly, and then when you walked into the office, someone would say, do you know your fly's open? You'd say, darn it, I left my car lights on.
Oh, Thelma, dear Thelma, thank you for sharing that with us tonight. Only with Don Sherwood, I suspect. Only with Don Sherwood. A man died today, and we're talking about unzipping your fly. With Sherwood, you can get away with it. Another very dear person who meant and still means a great deal of us and meant a great deal to Sherwood, Elma Greer. If you've been a longtime listener to KSFO, you know the name. Elma no longer works here, but for years she was our record librarian. More than the music librarian, she programmed the music on the station. Well, I called her the Mother Superior, but she, in many ways, ran the disc jockey side of it. Yes, there was a program director, but as I said earlier, they were at odds. Elma could relate to these people, and she has some thoughts that she shared with us today about Don Sherwood.
Honey, you can't work with a person. You know that yourself. You can't work with a person on and off over a period of 20 years and come up with one memory. There are so many memories. And to this day, incidents crop up in just, you know, general conversation. It's just too hard to say this is the one funny thing that I remember. There were so many funny things.
Well, let me add to your memories there for a second, if you don't mind, because while he may never have told you, he would say to me from time to time when we would be somewhere, I don't know if this is going to embarrass you or not, we were together somewhere and a lovely lady would walk by and he'd say, she doesn't have legs like Elma.
As I recall it, the
famous on the air by talking about me, because I was never on the air. I was in the library.
That's right.
Nobody ever heard me on the air, but because he used to talk about me a lot, I became just as well known as some of the personalities there. You see, I remember he was a learning experience to me. Sometimes he was very difficult, and sometimes it was fun, but it was always rewarding because he made you think.
The greatest set of wheels I've ever seen, Elma Greer, quote Don Sherwood. More memories.
Well, a lot of people.
Yeah, that's right. I share that thought about Elma, that opinion. We have, as you know, been hearing from all kinds of people, but there is no one more important than you. All day long, we've been sharing memories with you, and we're going to do that again later tonight. Jerry Gordon will be talking with you tonight between 11 and midnight. If you've been with us, you know that since about noontime today and till 6 o'clock tonight, no commercials, just memories of Don Sherwood. Your memories. Remarkable to me, or I guess it shouldn't be remarkable, but enjoyable, how many of them were duplicates. We've tape recorded most of what went on here today, and right now we have a montage, a collection, if you will, of some of your memories of Don Sherwood.
Perhaps up there he's giving everybody quite a laugh, too. I'd just like to also say that grew up with Don Sherwood. In fact, I remember when I was small and I was just a boy, all my contemporaries listening to the Beatles, and I was listening to Don Sherwood, and it's just sad that he's gone, and I think everybody will miss him.
Out of the mud grows the lotus.
And I'm really going to miss that man.
I just hope that the army of Sherwood fans can maybe get together between 6 and 9 when he was at the top of the peak in front of your radio station and give him a cheer.
Out of the mud grows the lotus.
Don was a sweet, sweet guy.
He was a neat guy and a terrific friend, and I think there must be a big gray cloud over San Francisco today, but we love him. Thanks, Jeff, for sticking in there and letting us share our memories with you.
Out of the mud grows the lotus.
And we all miss him, and we love him, and he'll never die.
Don, in closing his shows years ago, probably wrote his own epitaph, and then the feeling for all of us today with the statement, out of the mud grows the lotus. Don Sherwood exemplified that, and all of us are going to miss him a great deal.
I used to call him in the morning with shaggy dog stories, and I was a very lonely lady at that time. And he would keep me on the line and do commercials and then come back and talk to me. And this would go on and on in the morning, and he was so good to me then, and I didn't know him. I met him later, but I didn't know him, only I really thought I was in love with him because he was so good to me.
You know, my mother called me this morning and says, Don, did you hear the news? And she said that Don Sherwood has passed, and she couldn't hold back her tears, and it's kind of hard for me, too.
I know.
Like I say, we're all going to miss him. I saw him a couple of months ago, and I knew, he didn't look very well at the time.
Yeah, I know.
And we're certainly sorry to see him go, but wherever he goes, he's gonna amuse a lot of people, and he's going to make a lot of people happy.
Out of the mud grows the lotus.
Our listeners, God bless each and every one of you for sharing your thoughts today, Don Sherwood. You're really the people who make this radio station. We call it the world's greatest radio station. But you, the listeners, you're the ones who make it that way. We appreciate it. We appreciate your thoughts, and we remind you that again tonight, between 11 and midnight, you'll have a chance again to share your memories of Don Sherwood with Jerry Gordon.
Jeff, I just want to add a thought here. All day we've been listening to people who have refreshed our memories of the things that we loved living through with this guy. And there were surely so many things that I had forgotten. You store them in your memory and they get crowded out by other episodes in your lifetime. But the refreshing bring back from the expressions of the audience reminded me that this guy had such an impact on his audience that for about 4 years, and I say that again for emphasis, 4 years after he no longer worked here, and he was not on the air anywhere, not here, not any other station mm-hmm. in the area, for 4 years he was off the air, and he was still winning polls taken by various newspapers.
Popularity
about
poll.
your most listened to DJ. He hadn't been on the air for 4 years, and they're still voting for Don Sherwood. That is the kind of impact this man had.
A legend, really. A legend.
That's right.
In his own time. Characters, we've spoken of them earlier. We're going to hear from another one right now. Enrico Banducci. You know Enrico's on Broadway? He was a good friend of Don Sherwood's in the days he was here on KSFO. And in his dying days, Sherwood used to spend some time sitting out on the sidewalk, Broadway. Enrico has some very special and very moving memories of his friend.
Well, his favorite haunt, he would sit here every day for lunch for the last year that I remember, because his truck would park there and he'd come out. He says, I only come here because it's convenient, not that your food is any good. He always had something to say. You know, Don was always with that funny little corker of his. And it's strange because about 2 weeks ago he was sitting there in his chair, which is marked Don Sherwood, and he says, I'm going to tell you something. I'm croaking in a couple of weeks. That's just the way he said it. He says, I'm going. He says, you know what I want you to do for me? He says, you know what you did for Wasserman when he went on? You left the table out there with his drink and a flower on it for a week. He says, I want one for 2 weeks. And I want a cigarette in the ashtray. And if you can leave it lit, I'd love that even better. Such irony. That was Don Sherwood. He was a love. And as I've said before, he loved San Francisco as much as all of San Franciscans loved him. I mean, it was catastrophe when he didn't show up at KSFO in the mornings. People were on that phone wondering what happened to Don Sherwood. And it was a sort of a thing between him and Herb Cain that Herb Cain would mention that Don didn't make it again this morning and everybody's upset. He was a part, he's a part of San Francisco, and all I have to say is that, you know, it's another little chunk that is gone, like Jim McGinnis and a few other people in this town have gone by, which San Francisco really miss. We still miss Jim, we'll miss Don for as long as we're alive, and we'll always remember him. He was a beautiful, beautiful man.
He was indeed. Enrico Banducci. It's a special place at Enrico's for Don Sherwood. Mr. San Francisco Radio, I think that's a fair one of many apt descriptions of Don Sherwood. Mr. San Francisco is, of course, Herb Cain. I need say no more. Herb Cain spoke earlier today with Jim Lang.
Just wanted to get some of your thoughts. I presume you've already heard that Don Sherwood passed away this morning.
Well, I'm very saddened by the news. It's a gray day in every way.
Well, you always... did you call him the world's greatest disc jockey, or was that his own invention?
I think he came up with that, typically. I'm sure his tongue was in his cheek when he said it. He had that kind of humor about him. And I hate to talk about irreplaceable people, but he was one. And we've all lost a good friend, and the city's lost one of those people that could make other people laugh and think and enjoy life. And that's the sad thing about it all.
Would you consider yourself a close friend? Because all the people we've talked to say that he really didn't have a lot of close friends.
He was a loner. I used to see him at Enrico's having lunch by himself or sitting at the bar. I'm not implying that he was drinking. Mm-hmm. He was sitting at the bar philosophizing generally. At near the last, what turned out to be the last weeks or months of his life, Enrico's coffee house seemed to be his favorite hangout. Enrico told me just a few minutes ago that he, Don, had hired a Rolls-Royce limousine and driver last week. Did you hear this?
No, I did not.
Or earlier this week, I guess, because they had a very heavy premonition that time was running out for him, and Enrico had to go somewhere, but he kept saying, Enrico, come with me. I want to drive around town and look at the sights and go up to Coit Tower and look out at the bay. And Enrico said, I'm sorry, Don, I've got a business appointment. I can't make it. And Don said, well, okay, Enrico, but I've only got a few days left, and I just want to enjoy the city some more before I go. Well, he talked that way often and rather melodramatically at times. Sometimes we'd even get impatient with him and saying, Don, you're not going to die. You're going to outlive us all. It was tragic and pathetic to see him walking around with that oxygen machine that kept him going for so long, and also discover that he still smoked and was not, he never did take care of himself. But the Rolls-Royce thing struck me as so unlike the usual Sherwood, who was low-key. He loved old clothes, old cars, and very little in the way of luxury.
Besides being a friend, you were a fan. I know that there were many years that you got up every morning with Don Sherwood when he arrived. That was one of his other characteristics, very unpredictable, whether or not he was going to be at work or not.
We always turned on the radio with our fingers crossed, hoping he'd be there. But we knew he'd get there eventually. Of course, sometimes he did, but mostly he was there. And it was the habit of everybody in town, as we all know, to listen to Don. And I don't know, he just had that special quality that made you want to hear him and listen to him, even if he was just rambling along about nothing.
It must have been extremely special. I mean, I first heard him in 1958, but I remember coming to San Francisco on my way in the Marine Corps overseas, and they were picketing the Fairmont Hotel and the radio station here because Don Sherwood had done something. I think he quit that day or just walked out of the station for some reason, and there were hundreds of people out in the street. I don't think you could find that happening today.
No, he had a tremendously loyal following and a great control over the crowd. He didn't throw his weight around. He was not a power-mad guy in any way.
Mm-hmm.
He was difficult, I'm sure, to work with, and the station was always very patient with him, knowing they had a special talent there. I don't even know if he was happy in his work or if he enjoyed it as much as we did. He always felt like he should be doing more or something different or something more important, but we kept trying to convince him that making people laugh is as important as almost anything else, maybe more important. But he was essentially an unhappy, lonely man, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think you're probably right, and we heard from Al Newman, who was his boss for many years, and he said that Don really didn't think he was very good at what he did. And as you mentioned, that it was worthwhile. There was always something else he wanted to do, like the project he had with the Indians. Remember that?
Right. And I think the listeners went along with him on it, but I don't think that's what they really wanted from Don, and he knew that. Well, everybody gets into that same bind where the audience sort of takes over and makes you do something you don't want to do. Well, they wanted him to be funny, and
mm-hmm.
finally he just ran out of jokes. The laughing stopped, and now it's stopped forever. And it's very sad. I feel very very unhappy, as one does, that I didn't see more of him. And but there's always that terrible feeling of why didn't I stick around with him? He really was dying.
Well,
he wasn't just making macabre jokes there.
Well, it's fascinating that he just wanted to see the city one more time. Just soak it up a little bit.
Right.
Amazing. Well, thank you very much, Herb, for taking a little time talking with us and reminiscing. And if we need anything from you, I'm sure we can get back to you.
Well, I'll be here, Jim.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Herb Cain. Herb Cain and Don Sherwood. Together and separately in their own ways, they epitomize San Francisco. We're not going to finish yet. We're starting to wind down our tribute to Don Sherwood. We've got quite a bit more. You'll be hearing from Don himself, and we'll share some thoughts. Aaron Edwards, before we let you get away, and we could go on forever, and we'll continue this at another time, but let's share some more memories of your friend and your sidekick.
Just mentioned had to do with the fact that he didn't show up. He mentioned the fact that Don didn't come here many, many mornings. He was putting upon me, when I sat in for him, which I did fairly regularly, the burden of explaining to the audience. I mean, I was nobody's fool. These people were not tuning in by the thousands and thousands to listen to me. And I had to explain why he wasn't there. So I was thinking up crazy things like, He found one sock, he couldn't find the other. See? Or, I said, he was having a heck of a time. There was a knot in the drawstring of his pajama bottoms, and he couldn't undo them, and he wasn't going to come here dressed like that. So I thought up these bizarre reasons that he was, none of which were true, I think. In any case, one day, as you mentioned earlier, Jeff, he got mad at management, as he did fairly frequently. This was after Bill Shaw retired. There was a manager here. Don didn't see eye to eye with him, and he quit, and that was it, the end of the day. Well, several months later, I was to do a Christmas special on the station. It was a two-hour program, and I ended up asking Don if he would be part of it with me. We wanted to talk about his outlook on life, viewpoints, experiences as a kid for Christmas and things like that. It was a pre-Christmas program. He agreed to do it because he liked me, and he would do it because I asked for his help in this. But he was mad at the manager, so he settled it this way. He said, I'll do it on one condition. Of course, there were expletives thrown mm-hmm. throughout the sentence. I'm shortening it. On one condition, I'll do it, and that is that you never mention my name. So for 2 hours, we were on the air. The program was called Aaron Edwards and Friend. We did a two-hour pre-Christmas show. Never once mentioned who it was. And, of course, everybody knew. The manager was incensed that I had a guy on that didn't identify himself.
There are so many people we associate with Don Sherwood, but Aaron Edwards is certainly top of the mind. Aaron, it can't be done, but if you could, say to your old buddy, Donnie Babe, if he were here tonight, what would you say?
Well, I think there are many things I would say, but if I was limited to one rapid statement, there's so much that I got from this guy, and so much that so many people got from this guy, that I think my one statement to him would be, put out the cigarette.
Aaron Edwards with some memories of his friend and sidekick, Don Sherwood. We've been reminiscing, that is, since a little after 9 this morning, when we first heard that Don Sherwood had died. There is no way, really, for me to recap or sum up this day or these last few hours. It's been an emotional day for all of us at KSFO, and I know for all of you as well. It's been a living memorial to a man who touched us all. Instead of summing it up, think about these words, if you will, these phrases, in no special order. Think about these words, these thoughts, and your memories of Don Sherwood. A giant. Genius. Irreverent. The laugh. That infectious, dirty laugh. Cranky. A conservationist. Tell the boss to go to hell and make it stick. Ahead of his time, the king, Donnie Babe, Surly, Winnie Booberman, Danny Cohalen, inventive, gutsy, late, always late, hard living, one of a kind, radio in San Francisco, a friend, shy, a lover, caring, out of the mud grows the lotus, concerned, the world's greatest disc jockey, and most of all, just plain funny.
Well, as you know, we're all excited about the Big Pal game coming up May 24th, the Cow Palace. KSFO No Stars against Reno VIPs, and I have here my pitcher, Reggie Van Gleason.
Good to see you.
It's good to see you, Reggie. Now, I want to ask you, you're going to be our pitcher, and all pitchers have special things that they do with their hands before they pitch a game.
Yes.
Not as dirty as me. I can't like it.
Take it easy, Al. All right.
You can do it.
All right, here we go. Well, it's you.
Come on!
Jesus. Well, as you all...
I can't get it out!
Wait a minute. All right. Here we go. Well, as you all...
I'm just joking, for Christ's
sake. All right. I'm going to run out of teeth here pretty soon if you guys don't. All right.
You're rolling. What?
Yeah, my bagger. Here we go. All right. I'm all set. Well, as you all know, we're all very excited about the big battle.
Oh,
here you go. Well, as you all know, we're all very excited about the big pal game coming up May 24th. The Cow Palace against the Wait, you got tape rolling? All right. As you all know, we're very excited about the big pal game coming up May 24th at the Cow Palace against the KSFO. All right, this is the take. I'm going to do it now.
I got a dollar you'll never get.
I do. I'll do it.
Yes.
Here we go. As you all know, we're very excited about the big pal game coming up May 24th at the Cow Palace between the... I'll do it now. I'm going to get you about the hand. Here we go.
Okay. You go get me.